Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to ATI Auto Transport. My name is Jay. It's Friday. It's noon. It's time for Cars on the Move. We have a special treat today. We've got the NIADA. Some members and organization and used car news was with us. So this is going to be a pretty cool show. We're going to try and make it move quick, but we got a lot of people, so it's really we're excited. So please do click that like button. Thank you so much. Click share, click copy, grab that YouTube link. You can jump into the live chat. Remember, if you want to talk to Ty, 417-483-2764. Let's check in with Ty. Ty, can you see me and hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. I'm in Joplin, Missouri today at a dealership, which is a little different than the transport parking lot. One of the reasons I'm at a dealership, it's a local dealership. Obviously, I'm from Joplin. I'm familiar. It's Roper Auto Group. Great people. These guys are always doing it what I would say the right way. They're heavily invested in the local community. They've been here for a long time, way longer than I've been around. And it's not a revolving door. So they do have two franchises left. I'll go ahead and say that. They've got the Kia and the Honda, I believe. But as a whole, they've been in the Joplin Metroplex for a long time. We may get to talk to somebody, but I'm just here to support the dealer, okay? Because Jay and I always talk about the front of the store and the back of the store. I'm usually the guy in the back of the store rolling around the transport parking lot, unloading cars, loading cars. This is what we would call the front of the store. So this is after we finally get the cars delivered, here's where they're at. They're on the street, ready to go. People are selling. So I'm excited for today's show because I do love the dealer, and it's a rare opportunity, in my opinion, after being in this industry on the transport service vendor side for dealers for 20 plus years, to be able to take a breath and be a part of this organization. And thank you, Used Car News. So go ahead.
Yes. Well, I would just want to say this is so cool because as the views start to ramp up, we know that there are some folks that are like really love the dealer. And I was just telling Tim about this, right? That within our verticals, within our own industry, there's some hurt feelings, unmet expectations, and that's why we're reaching out to the entire ecosystem, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, this is what I've always said. It's not so much about how much money can I make hauling cars. It's not so much about which truck and trailer do I need. It's more about doing your market research and understanding, is there a need for my service where I live? And then as you decide that, it can grow, it grows, right? Because this dealer knows that dealer, and that dealer doesn't do it the way that dealer does. And so we start connecting dots, building lanes, building relationships, and serving the customer. The customer is the dealer. So it's what I told these guys earlier. I said, when I started transporting cars, I had no idea what an auction was, a car hauler, trailer, a chain, a strap, none of that. I didn't know anything about it. And the car dealer didn't either, but the car dealer is the one that taught me everything I needed to know about the car hauling business. So understanding your customer is very important, and that's why I'm excited that we have dealers as part of our gang.
And it's funny because what you just said, again, you just went against the grain, and that's why we had Tuesday night show where we're reviewing Get Rich Car Hauling YouTube videos. Because if you don't talk to anybody except other car haulers, you are not going to get the full picture.
No.
Man.
And you're the guy that's saying about, bringing these two different segments together, because you'll see as this conversation unfolds, you'll be like, wow, do you guys never talk to each other? It's funny.
All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and bring the guys in. I think we got proper foundation. So here we go. Here comes Bert and LG and Jeff and Kelly and Tim. And I'll just go back to camera one for a second while everyone's coming in. Welcome back to ATI, the Car Shipping Business Channel. We're just a few minutes into Cars on the Move on Friday with NIADA. So I think we've got everybody in the Zoom meeting now. Now, how do we start with introductions? I guess here's what we'll do. We'll just briefly, we'll go counterclockwise, or we'll go clockwise. You already met Ty. You already met me. I'm Jay. Bert, please say hello.
Bert, yeah, Bert Straub, First Choice Auto in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Jeff.
Jeffrey Ballant, a managing editor at Used Car News.
LG.
LG Bright, Automotive Department Chair, Northwood University.
All right, and Tim?
Tim Gaylord with Gaylord Sales and Leasing out of Aurora, Colorado.
Great. And Kelly.
My name is Kelly Midget. I own Kelly's Automotive here in Manigo, North Carolina.
Awesome. Well, thank you, gentlemen, so much for taking the time. So, Ty, take it away. What are we doing?
Well, this is good. One of the things I'm going to ask a lot of questions about NIADA, National Independent Auto Dealers Association. So these guys are a huge part of the NIDA. I think everybody in here plays a role with the NIDA. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Some role, whether it be a member.
Yeah. We all represent different states. I represent North Carolina, South Carolina. Tim would be in Colorado, so we all represent our state association, and NIADA is the national association. So we'll all meet together in Vegas. All the states will come together for the national convention.
Okay. And I will be at the convention, become chairman of the President's Council, which is a council of the state presidents that we get together and meet on how to improve our associations at the state level and come away with best ideas. The idea is to come in with one good idea and take home 37 good ones for our members and the benefit of our associations.
This association has been around for a long time, am I correct? Does anybody know approximately when this was started?
Well, this is the 76th convention, right? 76th annual convention, I think.
1976, is that right?
No, 76
years. Okay, 76 years. Oh, wow. Okay, so the next question I have, and this one I always do this wrong, but if I'm a non-member, can I become a member? If I'm not a dealer, can I become a part of this organization?
Right, you can sign up if you don't have a state affiliation, but they're like, let's say a dealer in Colorado signed up through NIADA. NIADA would kick them back internally as a member of CIADA. Now, let's say a state like Wyoming doesn't have an association, then they would be a national independent dealers association. So once you join your state, you automatically, the fee is paid by the state to become part of NIADA, unless there's not a state chapter.
And if you're not a member, I think you would be considered like an allied member. Like they have a ring of honor that they honor an allied member, somebody not who's a dealer, but who's part of the industry.
Right. So sure. The reason I'm asking is because if I'm a transport guy and I want to build my business, and I want to have relationships with dealers, this might not be a bad organization for me to consider joining.
No, we have a lot of vendors that join on the national level and are affiliate members.
Looking for is affiliate member, and I could be, if I want to grow my transport company and say even in my state, I could go with the national and the national can point me to the state. Is that how that works?
Right. Well, you can, each state's going to have their own program. So you can sign up with, let's say you just did business in Washington, Oregon, and California, for example. So it might behoove you just to be part of those state chapters as well. But if you sign up, say, through California, you're automatically going to become a member of NIADA. But let's say your focus is just, regional. But if you wanted to go national and you want to have a participation program in each state, then you'd probably want to get a hold of each executive director in that state and let them know that what type of program you want to work with them on.
Okay. So here's
it's multi-layered.
Multi-layered. Okay, it's but multi-layered. I'm really excited now because now I can become a part of this, which is going to take me to, next question. So I'm a vendor guy. I'm a transport guy. I've been doing it for a long time. I want to be in the dealer group. And I want to be in the dealer group because I know dealers are the guys that buy cars and sell cars and trade cars. So I'm a transport guy. I want to meet all of you in my state or region or three, however that works. But now this is where I get really excited. And this is where you guys take over. What are some of the benefits for a vendor or a dealer in becoming a member of this organization?
Well, there's multiple for dealers. So we have our state associations that tackle state issues to help our membership grow, whether it's licensing, training, legislatively. Each state's going to be different. On the national level, NIADA has their own legislative branch that works with Washington, D.C., if you will. The resources are poured in there that on laws and possible legislation that would affect dealers nationwide. Then also, NIADA has training available for each state. They're coming out with a certified pre-owned program that hopefully will be able to roll out at the convention that dealers through their states can take participation in, that will be recognized by quite a few people. I don't have a list in front of me on who's finalized, but they'll be training people on how to certify your pre-owned vehicles. And so there's a lot of benefits both locally in your state and nationally, whether it's legislative, training, growing membership locally, revenue, participation with outside vendors. And it all comes together at the national convention. This is where you're going to meet and greet, see the vendors. One vendor may not work in one part of the country. Another vendor, you know, is knocking it out in the Northeast, but can't touch California. And so our members are going to be exposed to opportunities and changes. As you know, as Bob Dylan always said, times are changing. And if we're not embracing change, we're going to get left behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
And from a standpoint as what you might think, Ty, would be the relationship. I mean, for you to be able to talk to, you know, dealers across the country, to be able to present a product that, like, just like Tim had said, it may work for somebody in California, but it might not work for somebody, you know, on the other side of the country. So I think that's the key part for vendors, transporters, warranty companies. I mean, just the list goes on and on for us to be able to make decisions. I'm a small guy. I mean, I don't have a lot of time to do a lot of research. And for me, be going to Vegas to see, you know, a few different vendors that are offering transportation and get some different things. And you might have a product that's great doing, you know, certain things, and someone else might have a product that's better. So it's just a great way for us to be able to build relationships. I mean, look, I mean, you got, you know, six of us, seven of us here right now that are able to shoot things back and forth and hopefully, you know, leave here a little bit smarter in the car business.
Well, I'm glad you stepped up, because yesterday Jay and I were doing a little homework trying to figure out who's where and who does what. And Bert came up and we're checking Bert out and we find out Bert's in Erie. Now, I told Jay, I said, we're going to do this live. We're going to do a little test and we're going to see if this is right or wrong. So Bert, you and I have never talked except for today and 30 maybe minutes a couple weeks ago. So we don't know each other, right?
You're going to put me in a bad spot. Are we going to pull like a magic trick?
Yeah, you'll love this one. I bet a dollar. I bet Jay a dollar, because I don't ever bet more than a dollar. But I bet Jay a dollar that you've heard of Corey Auto Auction.
Absolutely.
And I got another dollar that says you probably know Kerry.
Absolutely.
Okay, Jay, pay up.
Okay, I owe you. I'll pay you.
And now I've got to add to that Corey Auto Dealers Exchange is one of the America Auto Auction's new, you know, they're changing the name. So it will no longer be Corey Auto Dealers Exchange. It'll be American Auto Auction Erie. So just a little plug for Kerry.
Well, the beautiful thing about it is I met Kerry at, I believe it was Used Car Week. She was running around with the Accelerate group when this was all fresh, and got to spend some, no, I met her at the IARA in San Antonio. That's
okay.
She was hiding from everybody because she didn't want to talk to me. And I walk up to her hiding. I'm like, what are you doing hiding? And from there, literally, I mean, we did not know each other. From there, because of that, because of social media, and now I'm talking to a guy named Bert that knows Kerry, that this is the way it works in the car dealer world, guys. Right.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
I love it. So let's hear some more on the, I want, there was, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's pass
LG,
it around
I wanted
again.
To talk about LG for a minute.
Great.
Because we did some homework on LG. Now, LG, where are you at?
Northwood. You're in
Northwood
Michigan,
University.
Right? Yeah. Tell us more,
been
LG.
There a while.
Well, so Northwood University, not only is it a free enterprise university, which works well with automotive, the automotive marketing and management sends out the entrepreneurs that not only have the franchise and independent dealerships, but are in all the vendor spaces all around that. And so we're teaching those students that everything that happens is on that financial statement. Everything that happens about sourcing vehicles, everything that happens selling vehicles, everything that happens in terms of, and I've heard it today, transportation, marketing, management shows up on the financial statement. And we have been, and just some of the pictures that Jay just went through, some of them where our students at the NIADA convention, because there's a scholarship through Next Gear Capital, and some of the relationships that I heard today, IARA, Northwood has wholesale modules with Tony Long at IARA, NAAA, I got a chance to do a panel at NADA this year. So our relationship with the automotive industry and all of the things that you do, our students think you're heroes. And I always say that you know, in the culinary area, you know, you get a chef in front of some students. I was watching a little bit of Master Chef yesterday, 10-year-old kids, you know, trying to be like a Master Chef. My students, they want to be in the automotive industry. You know, I go somewhere else and maybe they're on their phones, but here, when you're talking about transportation, when you're talking about recon, when you're talking about wholesale or retail operations, my students, they're taking notes because they want to be professionals within this industry. And so that's our claim to fame. Northwood University, years ago, long before I was there, the NADA selected them as kind of endorsed school. And so I, as somebody from Michigan, I knew it as the car dealer school. And then as I got there, you know, not only franchise dealers, but independent, and also working for the manufacturers and then all around the vendor space, you know, whether it's in sales, whether it's in management, whether it's in marketing, whether it's in entrepreneurship, owning a transport or a car hauler. But I went to Northwood. I know the automotive space.
Let me toot LG's horn here. Our Northwood, we're here. We're meeting with national state quality dealers who are going to compete at the national quality dealer. And Northwood's the one that actually helped select that winner. And I got to tell you, my nephew's in community college, so I'm kind of trying to push him towards Northwood. He likes cars and everything. So I went to a presentation by one of the former students there, Art White, who runs a franchise group. And so we went to his franchise group, and they had a young guy who was a graduate who ran your auto show. They do an auto show every year that are completely student run, and this was the kid who headed it. And on top of that, last thing is I started to talk Art White after, and I tell him, well, I really cover used cars, not really franchise. He said, well, you know Gordy Tremolin? Yeah, I know Gordy Tremolin from Illinois. He's one of the leaders of NIDA. And so they went to Northwood together, and so here you have franchise and teachers and students and used car guys all connected from this school. So, and I got to tell you, my last point, the National Quality Dealer, these guys here, that event where they choose from these state guys, it's kind of like the Super Bowl of dealers. It's kind of like a Super Bowl 20 group. You got the best of everybody competing. And it's if you haven't watched it or attended it, you have to do it. If you're cynical or discouraged, watch the show and listen to these guys' stories, and you won't be cynical or discouraged anymore.
You're saying National Quality Dealer?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a different organization?
No, well, it's an award that the NASH NIADA gives out. Each of these guys here are state quality dealers. They've been awarded their state, and then they all go up, and they're all nominees for the national award. So they'll be picked from some of these guys here.
I got it. Okay.
And LG's on that board.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, what's your address, LG? I'd like to send you just a little something, just to, you know, think of me.
Well, Kelly's got the sign behind him here, so.
We love
congratulations to you guys for making the
We love those stories.
Top 12, which was
see the community service, the business operations, the pictures, talking about their employees again for us. I'm a sports fan, and I realize, you know, people can talk sports all day long. We could talk automotive all day long. To hear and to see what these great entrepreneurs. And that's the thing about Norton, again, it's...
We might have just lost LG. That happens. We're live. I always like to make sure we're live. Yeah. So he'll come back. He'll be back in. Yeah, go ahead.
Kelly. Okay, so we did a little homework on Kelly. And if I'm wrong, correct me, okay? But I believe the story goes like you started out detailing cars. Is that right?
That is correct. I started out many years ago detailing cars in Lake Norman and worked at several detail places, car washes. You know, it's I just enjoy it. And I had a detail service here at the beach, and I wanted a storefront, and I couldn't quite afford the rent at a storefront. And I said, you know, if I sell one car a month, I need to make $900 per unit. I can sell one a month. I can afford the rent. I can have a nice detail shop. And that's how I kind of started, was just with the idea to sell one a month. And did oil changes, did tires, did a few other things. And it just took off. It just kind of, I started off with one or two or three cars on the lot. And then next thing you know, I'm selling three a week, you know, and the lot's empty. And I'm like, holy smokes, you know, it just kind of took off like that. And I had to, at some point, I had to decide what to cut, you know, and so I cut out tires and I cut out oil. And then eventually I had to make the call to cut out detailing and just sell cars. And that's 12 years, been up and running 12 years selling cars, and just hadn't looked back. It's matter of fact, I got my 13-year-old and 16-year-old outside cleaning cars right now.
Good job.
Trying to keep it in the family here.
That's great. And where are you located again? I'm sorry.
In Manio, North Carolina. We're at the Outer Banks, North Carolina.
Okay. And how many cars do you usually keep on your lot, average?
Usually 20 to 30.
20 to 30, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the next question I've got, and this can be to anybody. what are some, so COVID came around, what is that, 2020-ish, somewhere in there? Mm-hmm. And the auction said you can't come here anymore. Now, how many of you guys did that really bother?
I do most of my buying in person. I like to see, touch, smell, feel, drive. And, you know, for COVID changed a lot. I didn't realize how easy my car buying was pre-COVID. I was pretty much going to one auction a week, and I bought from one wholesaler. And I bought most of my inventory just like that. COVID has helped. Go ahead.
I'm going to time out you here real quick, because what you just said is what I always tell anybody. So because of Jay's investment in this channel and my relationship with Jay, people call in every day, literally every day. I want to be a car hauler. And so one of the things that Kelly just said that I believe is absolute truth, pre-COVID, dealers source their vehicles from one to three auctions every week, every month, every year. And you guys heard it live right here. Kelly just said, pre-COVID, I got all my cars from one auction and one wholesaler, right? And you probably had a relationship with a transport guy too, didn't you?
Yeah, one transporter, and that's all changed. That's all changed. We're buying in different states. I buy some on ACV, which I was like super anti-buying online. I tried it a few times. I got burnt. One time I was at the auction online. There was two red minivans, identical years, really close miles. I accidentally bought the wrong one. I was busy in the office. And yeah, I bought the one with the peel and paint on it, you know. And, yeah.
So welcome to my world.
It doesn't sound like you're alone there, Kelly.
I didn't buy the one with the left-hand drive, though, right?
I've been anti, but you know, because of COVID, I'm now buying at different auctions. I've met different buyers. I've got buyers on the ground in different states that'll look at cars for me. So we have, you know, anytime in business we have roadblocks, it always helps us to get a little stronger, get a little better. And the car buying and COVID's been one of those things where we've, you know, kind of looking other places and exploring other avenues. And with transport, it's just the same. Ironically enough, I had a transporter brought me 7 cars today. So when we had our little break before the live show, I was able to settle up with him and get him back on the road. So car business never sleeps, and it's definitely always evolving, always.
Okay, good. Okay, so that definitely lines up with what I think confirmation bias, so thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else in the group? COVID hits. Oh boy, I got to change the way I source my vehicles.
I can tell you that when COVID hit, we were ready. Back in 2009, a couple of guys in Longmont, Colorado, developed a product called Auction Genius, which you probably know today as Stockwave. And they came down to me and asked if we would be interested in trying their product. Once I saw their product, I told them they were going to revolutionize the business. So we signed up with them, and they hired my wife away from my dealership to go work for them. A startup, barely making pennies, but we saw the potential. So we loaded up our van, our Suburban. I drove to Las Vegas to NADA with all their products, my wife. And you know how, if you've ever been to NADA, it's huge. It's like 6 football fields big.
Oh my God.
Well, they were fortunate to get a spot in the very, very back. It was a like 8x10 spot. So I go in, help them set up everything. And I said, hey, listen, you guys are all set up, you're good. I'm gonna go find a coffee. Well, that's a 30-minute walk, right? So 30 minutes to get the coffee, 30 minutes to come back, and there's 200 people surrounding their venue. I mean, I couldn't even get in. So 6 months later, V Auto, which is owned by Auto Trader bought the company and then became part of, you know, one of Cox's BUs. So I had privy to buying online with this dashboard that was so unique. So we were ahead of the game for 2 years before other dealers finally caught up and got online and started buying. But our business model is by appointment only. We have zero drive-by traffic. So we're very car specific. People are looking for our particular inventory. And so they just set an appointment. So when COVID hit, we were already up and running.
Jeez.
Fortunately for us, it was a smooth transition. And then when everything got shut down, I've been in the business since 1978, and I've seen this before. So when people started panic selling, we took every dollar we had and we're buying vehicles for 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
It was like Christmas time.
Are you planning to see that scenario again in the next 2 to 4 months, maybe?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand your question.
I said, do you anticipate seeing that similar scenario in the next, say, 4 to 6 months? Are you looking at the market now thinking it might do this?
Yeah.
Not necessarily overall because of the amount of supply and people still need cars. Is it going to dip slightly? You know, everybody has an opinion on it. I've seen 100 opinions online. It's going up, it's going down, it's going to crash. What we try to focus on is buy our cars and turn them within the same 30-day period that we bought them. So our inventory is only subject to a current market condition. Talked to a dealer last night. He bought a RV, $140,000 RV gas pusher last January. Thought he was going to make a home run. Well, gas prices today, he sold it for what he was in it and felt like he made a $5,000 profit. But it, I've been there, I know that feeling. So being aware of the market conditions and, you know, we hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Yeah, so we try to keep our inventory very nimble. We usually carry about 45 cars and sell 25 cars a month. But it's getting harder to get that inventory from time to line. And part of the problem is when you buy something out of state, with diesel fuels so high, these guys are not just bringing in ones. They're waiting until they have a full load, which pushes back our timeline. And a vehicle still today, maybe not the last 2 years, but suffers time decay. It goes down in value, not as dramatically as it used to before COVID, but your interest piles up if you floor plan them. And it just, you're changing markets, you know, with a delay in shipping. So every dealer that buys online today is always looking for a great transport who's reliable, can be trustworthy, and performance-based, really. To help that dealer succeed, they need a great partnership with a transport company who has their best interests at heart.
There you go. You couldn't have said it any better. I couldn't. How's that? You said it perfect. It was awesome. Anybody else have anything to say about that?
Time to line, full load. Very interesting. I mean, that's...
Well, that's... Yeah, that's, we do that show right every there. Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Or not every... Once a month, we do Tim Skatalis Max Tim's Digital.
The melting block of ice.
Block of ice. We talk about interest. We try to educate the carrier as to why the dealer's screaming, where the F is my car? And they don't understand that there's money behind this that is pushing people to ask you to do your job. Do your job. That's right. That's all you're asking, right?
And to be fair, on the carrier side, the carrier's saying, if you're screaming about time, I need a little money to make up for, everything's a negotiation.
That's a really good point. You know, you may be dollar foolish on trying to put a bid out on a vehicle to be transported for $1,000 and it'll sit out there for 3 weeks. But if you bumped it up $200, it'd be there in 3 days. And then you have, you know, 2.5 weeks to get that car in and turned and sold and using that money again to double your profits. So it's not always necessarily being the cheapest. It's being the most efficient in turning it. And that's what we talk about in our NIADA 20 group meetings, is time to line and turn. So last 2 years during COVID, I told our staff, don't worry about turn. You know, prior to, we were turning our inventory 12 times a year. So during COVID, I said, we can't replace them. Don't worry. We'll just sell them when they sell. And then it started, I think, last October, things started slowing up. In our January meeting in our 20 group, I was at a turn of 2.3%. I couldn't believe it. That was terrible. So I made it one of my goals to turn it, to crank it up. And then in March, at our next meeting, we turned our turn back up to 9. So we went from a 2 to a 9, just refocusing, getting back to basics 101. And thank goodness the 20 group, where we do those composite numbers and analyze where we're weak and where we can get strong.
Wow. Man, well, that's cool.
I smell a segment, Time to Line with Tim.
Okay. That's priority, baby. Time to line. We got to turn that money and make it work 12 times a year, not one time.
So the national average changes every day, I know, but I think the last number I heard was somewhere in the 60s. $60 per day per car if you got it on your floor plan. Does that sound close?
Yes, today that'd be very close. Prior to COVID, we carried the same inventory. Our average cost of our car was just under $17,000. The same inventory today is just under $33,000. So you've doubled your flooring cost carrying the same product.
Wow, that's intense.
That blow you away.
Wow.
Yeah, that's inflation. that's what a transport guy needs to hear and really understand. Because, you know, we transport guys like to complain about fuel, about the cost of a truck and a trailer, and about hiring people and insurance and damage and all these things we like to complain about. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But really, why don't you go ask your customer what he's dealing with? What are his challenges? And the one that I always like to say is go ask your dealer buddy how much his electric bill is every month. That'll make your hair go on fire, right?
Or parts bill.
Yeah, so if 2 years ago before COVID, I had $500,000 worth of inventory, that same inventory today cost me $1 million.
And it's sorry, I'm trying to get up inventory. Off the ground. Oh.
Right. You're okay, Ty? You're okay?
Oh, man. Say that one more time so everybody can hear it again. That was really good.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Oh, could you tell us that one more time?
If you'll repeat that, good. Please. The same inventory.
Can you repeat that? Oh, okay, my inventory prior to COVID. So in the 20 group, we always analyze all the composites and our numbers. And so my average inventory cost was like $16,883 prior to COVID. Today, at the last meeting, my average inventory cost was $32,700-something. And I haven't changed what type of inventory I carry. I'm carrying the same type of trucks and vans that I carried before then. It's just that because of the supply and demand issues, my $500,000 inventory is now $1 million inventory with the same amount of cars.
It's pretty wild. And so what's good then is we take that information and then we go, let's go over to the carrier side. Let's talk about fuel. Let's talk about insurance. Everybody's costs are going up. And if we both understand each side and how the costs are going up, we're definitely further down the road than we were.
Absolutely. And inflation is compressing our margins. So I noticed this year that we've sold more cars to date than we have last year, but we're off $140,000 in profit, selling the same amount of cars, selling more cars than we did last year. And our average inventory cost has remained the same. Now, if you look at the profit margin, it's been compressed. So what else has been compressed? Well, all of our costs, you know, the fuel that it takes to deliver vehicles from our site has gone up. Transportation costs is going to go up. Trying to get parts delivered, you know, if you need an OEM part from your local new car dealer, that's got to be shipped in. So, and catalytic converter theft is real high here in Colorado, as it is across the nation. Good luck trying to find a catalytic converter, because, you know, 60% of those precious metals in a catalytic converter come from Russia and Ukraine. And the other 40% come from Chinese-owned mines in South America.
So, that's a great plan.
Yeah. And Tim, the same thing. I mean, you know, your inventory compared to what my inventory is dealing in the subprime world, it's the same thing. Just real quick, I mean, my average contract size, you know, 3 years ago was $11,900. My last pool was $20,535, nearly double contract size. And my inventory is not changing. Mm-hmm. And I stay inside of a, you know, a subprime buy here, pay here type product. And it's the same thing. And my cost, you know, profit margins are definitely squeezed. And, you know, I'm buying probably an edgier car. So then my days are numbered even a little harder because I'm trying to find, you know, cars that maybe need body panels. You know what I mean? It's a challenge all the way around, Tim. So I appreciate hearing that, you know, even the bigger guys, you're being
We only sell 25 cars a month. I don't know if I'm a big guy or not, but
you know, I hear dealers say that all the time, and you're in the majority. Trust me, you are. But Bert, just curiosity, have you seen a repo changing your repo rate?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I would have told you 3 weeks ago, no, they were not being repoed. But for some reason, I've got one carrier that I talked to quite a bit, and he said, you know, there was a couple of lenders locally that hadn't been pulling cars. You know, he says he was getting 3, 4, 5 a week, and then all of a sudden he was just shut down for the last 2 years. But they're starting to creep up. I think, and unlike Tim had said, everybody, we all have opinions. I have a feeling that we're going to see a little bit of a turnaround on that. I'm watching the credit card debts climbing, which I think that's the first indicator. I think these people that, unfortunately, for me, you know, I'm watching a lot of my loans were getting paid off, which I'm happy for because that's residual money coming right back to me. But I think in the long term, what's happening is these people reestablished themselves. Lenders and dealers were getting a little bit scared. So they were taking maybe a shorter deal or maybe a little edgier customer. They're paying off that subprime loan that I have them in. And then they waffled them into something that, unfortunately, I'm not sure that customer is going to be able to handle, you know, 4 or 5 months from down the road. And I'm starting to see that with people trying to trade in, you know, a car that they bought even a year ago that, you know, they're having a challenge to make that payment. So I unfortunately, or fortunately, you know, for my business model, I'm starting to see that challenge people.
Bert, did you ever think in the buy here, pay here business that your average would be $20,000 on a buy here, pay here?
No.
When I started out 32 years ago, I was a buy here, pay here dealer. And the average cost of my inventory was $800.
And you wanted half down, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I wanted $1,000 down to cover the cost of the car and the taxes.
Well, and so I do that, but I credit acceptance is one of my largest. I was an ex-employee. I worked with them for 6 years, loved the company, loved the product. It's really helped me out in the 5 or 6 years that I've been here.
A lot of dealers have great things to say.
Yeah.
Kelly, what do you see out there, buddy?
What?
Kelly, what are you seeing out there, buddy?
I think we're going to have some buy here, pay here that are getting crunched by fuel alone. Just the cost of living, not just fuel, but the cost of living across the board is up. Food costs are up, fuel, everything is up. And so while we may have more buy here, pay here repos coming down the pipeline, I think we're also going to have more mid-level and prime finance that are going to transition into buy here, pay here as they're getting crunched out of their big payments and their newer cars. They may be looking for a cheaper car. I think there may be a shift across the board, you know, and I'm not sure where the buy here, pay here customer goes if they can't afford the car they have now. But I think we will have some, like happened, you know, I got started selling in 2010, and just before that, you know, was the Great Recession where buy here, pay here was really taken off. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen. I'm looking at the same thing. About half of my business is buy here, pay here. We also do some prime finance. But I'm not sure. We've had a few repos. We kind of seem to go in waves. We've not had a lot of repos the last several years, but there's been a lot of cash coming into people's pockets that they didn't really have to earn. And the payments were made. I've seen a lot of the subprime lenders locally. One in particular that their personal loans have struggled big time, and their auto loans have also struggled. So I'm not sure. I think we may have some more buy here, pay here repos, but I think they'll be replaced by prime customers that can't swing that prime payment anymore.
You know, that's really interesting that we survived barely the Great Depression, but one of the major things that's different between this and 1990 and 81 is that we have 11 million unfilled jobs in this country, where before all the other crashes, unemployment was going through the roof, double digit. So this is a unique economic situation. And the real question, I think this is probably more gas, diesel, inflation driven market that's compressing. I'd like to know what you guys think. How high do you think gas and diesel is going to get? Is it going to be $10 a gallon for diesel, Ty?
I'm going to go at least eight to ten for diesel is my prediction.
Oh my God!
Gas 10 all day long. Yeah, I mean, some of my buddies. So because of the show, we consult, or I consult other transport companies throughout the states. I got one that I stay in touch with real close in Arizona. He's at $6 a gallon right now.
Right. So what are the unintended consequences of $8 a gallon for diesel fuel? I mean,
right.
Well, this is
selling diesels down.
Don't get me started, because I start talking about manufactured crisis and I start talking about let's put everybody out of business, conglomerates, all these big conglomerates buying dealership rooftops and what was that for? Then you read an article about Run Buggy getting Series A funding for $19 million. It's a technology. Why do they need $19 million?
Right, right.
So you start looking at these things and I just ask questions. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm thankful today, and this is no joke. I had plenty of trucks and I paid plenty of fuel. I'm thankful I don't have any trucks today, because what I'm looking at and what I'm paying attention to, starting at the top from the OEM down to the buy here, pay here, which, by the way, Bert, I didn't even know you were buying. Now I've got to come and see, because I was buy here, pay here has always been my favorite. I made so much money with you guys. It was ridiculous. So I love you, buy here, pay here, guys. Anyway, you look at the OEM, what are they saying? What are they talking about? Is there signaling? You follow a guy like Brian Kramer. You guys know that guy? I swear he's from the future. What's he talking about? Jim Farley hired somebody from Apple, and why? Okay, I don't know. I'll read it later. But I'm just saying, as you start watching this stuff and you start trying to put all the pieces together, and you know, and I don't know if it was Tim, but so it depends on which news you watch. Nobody can say fuel is cheap, and everybody can say it's expensive, and I don't know how long we can keep going. So what do I see happening? Here's the only way I see survival right now. It's you guys. If I'm a vendor and you guys are my customers, I am going to do everything I can to know exactly where you're at, what you're doing, because my survival depends on you.
Exactly. And we saw a lot of that when the country got shot down. A lot of our vendors reduced fees, prices to help us survive. I mean, March 23rd, when they shut down the country, the first thing we did was, okay, we pay all our bills, don't sell another car, how much money in the bank, how long can we survive? So we figured we could last 10 months. And then we started negotiating with the vendors, and they, to their credit, they really stepped up and reduced prices 50%. But then the unintended consequences were people were shut in, but they could go to the parks. So trucks started selling, trailers, motorcycles, bicycles, and off we went.
Yeah. I don't know which way it's going to go. I do know that I'm so thankful, and I mean that, Jeff and Bert, Tim, Kelly, LG, and anybody else I might have missed, that you guys took the time to come and hang out with us today. And I mean that. That's means more than
we're humbled.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the invitation. I look really forward to
talking the car business.
Oh, I love it too. I can't wait to shake you guys' hand.
Right. So in summation, yeah. So Ty will be live at NIADA convention in Las Vegas with all of you starting June 20th. I'll be in my time capsule studio, and we'll go live at different times. We'll work with. Now, we didn't say this for Jeff. You're the managing editor at Used Car News. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Used Car News, for helping ATI get in touch with NIADA. You see the triangle there, and we're all working together to do some live coverage at the NIADA convention. So we really
appreciate it. Yeah, we appreciate you dealers, man. You guys are the best. We learned so much from you guys. And you guys are the entrepreneurs. You guys are the backbone for sure.
Well, we appreciate all you guys and what you do for us to help us succeed. Trust me. We can't do it without your partnership, your information from Used Car News, Northwest University. I got a guy in my 20 group who graduated from your program, Patrick Darrow. You probably know him.
Awesome.
but the information that we get together and collaborate under NIADA through our state, national associations, and 20 groups is like getting a master's in, you know, the car business 101. So I really believe that we really need to keep embracing change, information, see what's coming out there, and the best way to do it is to join a 20 group.
Yeah. In my go ahead.
Stay a student.
I didn't know this 20 group thing, but I love this. Now, we'll talk more about it when I meet you guys, because that gives me goosebumps. That's what I call real. And hearing Tim's story about, when they hit and then we did this, but then I got with my 20 group and they're like, what about? And just that kind of accountability that really infuses life into a business, into a relationship. And so I want to definitely talk more about that when I meet you guys.
Right. We'll introduce you to 20 group moderators at NIADA convention.
Oh.
You can pick their brains and they can tell you, because I'm only in one group, but they monitor about 20 groups and they can tell you all the stories.
That's really cool.
The guys that, you know, we had one dealer who was almost broke and turned her around, and awesome stories, great success, dealers helping dealers.
Well, that's what gets me excited. I'm like, okay, if you guys have it, why don't we have it? Okay,
I was just gonna say exactly. dealers helping dealers. Do we have carriers helping carriers?
No, that does not exist. I'm sorry.
Holy man!
You can start it. You can make it exist.
It was a tough show.
We are. It's called ATI. We're working on it.
There you go.
All right, guys. Well, have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you guys again.
Thank you guys. See you in Vegas, guys. See you in Vegas.
See you, fellas.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
All right, and so here's what I'll do is I'll go back to camera one. I'll let everybody go. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to put everybody back in the waiting room. I'm going to say goodbye to Ty, and that was really, really, really neat. And I didn't really go to the live chat because I didn't want to take the spotlight away from the dealers and NIADA Used Car News. Ty and I are really excited about, you know, what we're doing this month, and it's different. Ty, we haven't really done, I mean, we talk about dealers and you go to dealerships, so it's not like that's all brand new, but what's going to happen in Vegas? Now that we've talked more with, what do you say, what's going to happen later this month? What do you think is going to happen?
I think I'm going to come away with some great ideas that will energize the car hauling community. And if we use our existing relationships, what do you mean? What's the other one? Ziggy's in? IATA?
Right. So there's IATA, there's AHA, and of course, Finnish Vehicle Logistics.
Well, there's the N and Mibra. What's the United Road?
And then, the NVTA. Right.
Yeah. Right. I'm talking about, we just had the dealer group on it, right? And now we're car haulers, and the very last four sentences of this whole entire show really proved something to me, which was the car hauling community doesn't have that.
And
the 20 group?
And see, here's the thing.
Part about helping people?
You know, it's so dangerous to say this because somebody's going to disagree. Actually, a lot of people are going to disagree, and all two viewers are probably going to disagree. The thing is, the point is that you know we're on to something because the views are so low. And that's if you good. Talk about getting rich, that your views go through the, you know, there are organizations that, I mean, listen, AHA has a lot of members. That would be the biggest organization. Although I'm curious, NVTA would probably say they're bigger, but NVTA, and NVTA is mainly a group based around United Road.
Right.
I mean, whether you want to agree or not. I could be speculating live. So you got NVTA, you've got IATA, you've got AHA. But if you reach outside of just carriers, are there any associations that actually reach outside the car hauler's mind? I don't know. I don't think so. Not that I know of. And clearly it's not that popular of an idea. But what's so funny is, I just want to say this, is that when whatever this COVID crash, there's going to come a day where everyone's going to come scrambling to ATI because we were right all along.
Yeah.
Man, that's a crazy thing to say. I better look out for lightning. Am I going to get struck?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And the reason I don't think so is because and again, I know people get tired of hearing me talk about it, but I'm just telling you, just this little show today with just these guys that I've never met, Jay's never met, completely confirm everything that we talk about. They're independent guys. They hustle. They've got relationships. They do business with local people, local community. Tim talks about his local transport company that he's used for years. You know, we didn't get a chance to ask everybody in the group, but the reality, you know, you listen to Kelly talk about how he used to buy cars and how he has to buy cars now. That's great that you guys were able to all adjust, but man, that's some wicked adjustment.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
really
and, well, and that's the thing too. Oh my God. I mean, there's a show, the how inflation has affected the dealer, how inflation has affected the carrier. I'm sure there's a broker like, yo, I'm over here. I got hit by inflation. Everybody, rather than, I don't know why. And you know what? I'll just say this. Speaking of the war on the verticals, now the FMCSA is going to be listening to the war on dispatchers argument. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I saw that post. I think I
is
shared
there
it
an
with associ- you.
But- is there an association in auto transport that cares about this issue?
Well, the problem I have is why do we need the government to help us fix problems? That's what I can't figure out. And it seems like we always keep looking to the government to help us fix problems that really make things worse. Oh, well, that's my two cents.
That's a great way to end it. So listen, man, here's the thing back to, and the sun is, the sun has got, has you're in the sunshine, and you're the sunshine on you is even harder than it is on me. I've been kind of the bright spot on the visual, but yeah. Okay. So listen, that was an amazing show, Ty, in summation, good. That was awesome. I'm not worried about the views because what I know is I love what we're doing. I love where this is going. I love that you're going to Vegas. I love that we're collaborating with Used Car News at the NIADA convention in a week and a half. I think that's incredible, and I'm really excited. So, this show today, the purpose of the show today, not only to learn more and share information, was to get to know that group better so that when we're there, we're not a fish out of water. And I think we learned a lot today.
Boy, I'm kidding you not. I cannot wait to go. And I can't really, after talking to Bert and knowing Carrie's up there and everything, it's like, man,
it's
cool. A small
and
world.
The dots keep connecting. And that's another thing. For anybody not paying attention, man, the dots that we keep connecting, oh my gosh, it's so cool.
Ooh.
Wow. So,
yeah, it really is. Good time.
Job. Yeah, man. Thank you.
All right,
so much.
Jay, well, have a great weekend.
You too,
if anything,
man.
You know my number.
Right on, dude. I'll be
all
in
right,
touch.
Talk to you.
All right. See you,
bye.
Buddy. Bye. Okay, and so we're letting Ty go, and not that. So I am Jay. I am the host of ATI, Auto Transport, Car Shipping Business Channel. There's really no point in doing that wrap-up. But Tuesday night, we have a rapid recon. Actually, we have a full slate. I won't be traveling next week, so we're going to do four times a week. We got Tuesday night, rapid recon. We got Wednesday, live carrier advice with your DOT guy, Brian Riker. We've got dispatching live on Thursday. We're going to check the load boards, but we're also going to be talking about the FMCSA has now opened. Oh, boy. They've opened for comments on is dispatching an illegal group of crazy people or is it a job? And then we'll be back again on Friday on, oh man, we got Melting Block of Ice on Friday on Cars on the Move. So we got a full week next week. Please do join us for that. Say hello in the live chat. Tell your friends, like, share, and thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you soon. Peace out, everybody. Thank you.